Ba-da-ba.
You guys are such ass.
Welcome to The Second Wall, a binge-free zone where we look at a series and discuss it in small movements. This time we are discussing the 2017 series Your Lie in April. It can be found on most podcasts and social media platforms, a full list of which can be found at beardyandthebeast.com. Please watch episodes 4 through 6 and join Drew and I in the lobby to discuss the show afterwards.
I tell you what.
What?
I think I was kind of mentioning this last recording, but I think that this series has the potential to take over from Carol and Tuesday, the only real season, as my favorite thing that we've recorded for like our watch together, The Second Wall. There's just something very endearing about it that I really enjoy.
It is very well written. Like, I watched this in Carol and Tuesday around the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Both are very good at hitting emotional beats, but very different emotional beats.
Mm-hmm.
But you can see that same type of consideration to detail in the stories of both. And I mean, that's why, you know, I referenced it during Carol and Tuesday, brought it up to you a few times, and obviously why we're going through it now.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, let's start with more general here. Anything in particular hitting it for you, like, or just that general overall feel, or
it's got it. It's got a vibe to it. The negative is it still seems very Pusey-centric.
Right.
And I don't think it's going to shed it. I do think that they'll introduce more characters and try to flush out the people around him. But I was hoping it would be more about a group of people. Kind of like how in Carol on Tuesday, they gave equal time to explore Carol and Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And even what I'm hoping that they'll do with this series is, like they did in Carol and Tuesday, actually explore the characters around our two main protagonists.
Right.
And it doesn't take much to do or much time to flush somebody out in a well-written way. Like Carol and Tuesday was able to do it over the course of like one episode with the person who was the intersex wheelchair bound person.
Desmond?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's I mean, I guess it's a bit of a different genre.
Mm-hmm.
Like it does focus Kosei more.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not that it doesn't explore the other characters. It just has a different focus. Like when we were seeing Desmond and Carol on Tuesday, as an example, there's a lot more themes that are being explored around that.
Mm-hmm.
We could explore Carolyn Tuesday, even though they themselves didn't necessarily change much from the experience, we could kind of explore that, just the concepts of how they were discussing the music more through that.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I don't like that isn't the story they're setting up in this one here, you know, be six episodes in now.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, again, that's where it comes. It's very different focus, but it's not like they're ignoring the other characters.
Mm-hmm.
Just not as out there in some of the explorations as it was with Carol on Tuesday.
And I get that. I was just,
It comes from you watching all the shonen, where all of a sudden everyone becomes, all of a sudden you start with Goku, and then the next thing you know, he's going to be fighting beside Frieza.
Pretty sure that's canon.
Yes, it is.
There's something about the art of it that really draws me in. It's almost like the way that they draw and express it visually in this series. To bring back Carol and Tuesday, is how they express Carol and Tuesday sound and music and the audio. Like, there's such an artistic flair in that way. And I'm probably just more like visually attracted rather than via the audio. And that's why I might be resonating with this a little bit more. And of course, you know, like, I really enjoyed the only true season of Carol on Tuesday. Yes. And so I'm not putting down Carol on Tuesday to any degree.
No, if anything, I think you're raising this up and comparing it in that same light.
Yeah. Carol on Tuesday is still where it was before.
Yeah. And that's something interesting that I noted when I first watched this too, is, again, two animes about music. And I watched another one as well, K-On, around the same time, which again is very music centric. Carol on Tuesday, like, while music plays a big part in all three of those, Carol on Tuesday, the music was by far the focus.
Mm-hmm.
You see that with at least one new song every episode that conveys the mood, right? Even like the weird two songs where it wasn't diegetic, still conveyed the mood. Whereas the music in here, like the background music, is all very consistently the same, or very consistently similar, but I almost think it's because they want to showcase the concert scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely stand out more that way. But again, yeah, they've done a lot more visually. We've already talked about how they do the colors, and I did see that again happening.
I think one good way to kind of enhance what you're saying is in Carol on Tuesday, the music was mostly used to express the emotion of the piece.
Yeah.
Whereas in this, they're expressing that emotion more so through visual attributes.
Mm.
Music in this is to say a term more related to these episodes, is more the journey.
Yes. Yeah, I think I could be wrong. I'm pretty sure this was a manga first.
Oh, that would make a lot of sense.
Whereas I think Carol on Tuesday was there is a manga for it, but I think it was simultaneous, if not after the end.
Well, I thought Carol on Tuesday, like, they only released the manga because there was like some weird quirk or something, like, maybe not directly like this, but something like they wouldn't green light the anime without there being a manga or some nonsense.
This is a discussion that I 100% know that we've had, but I feel like that was tied to Nausicaa. Original run of the TV series was April 2019 and the manga was May. So yeah, the manga came after the series.
Okay.
For Carol on Tuesday.
That's probably because the only true season of Carol on Tuesday was so well received.
Yeah. Well, the timing is close enough, so I think it was planned to be done. Because I mean, April to May. Like, I mean, it's only like a month behind.
Yeah, it takes a lot more production time to make an animated series than it does a comic.
Oh, for sure.
So one thing artistically, I'm wondering, like, if you've noticed at all, Kaori, right?
Mm-hmm.
Have you noticed her eyes seem to change color depending on who she's talking to?
Okay, I thought I was going crazy.
Like, when she's talking to Kusei, they are definitely, like, purple but on the bluer side.
Yeah.
And I swear at some point I remember her having browner eyes.
I thought I remembered that too. To the point that I'm actually doing an image search because... That is definitely a purple and steel gray. It's all of the image I'm seeing. So she's definitely got different eye colors, yes.
probably depending on her mood.
Yes, that's what I was thinking. I do know that they were really blue in episode 4.
Mm-hmm. Strikingly so.
Yes. I guess let's get into the episode a little bit here.
All right.
Unless you had something else you wanted to go off of with that.
No, it was just like kind of my general feelings so far. After I had watched the sixth episode, I went, what I did, like, I had that like satisfied like tone to my voice. And of course, in a room devoid of anyone except myself, I was like, what a good suggestion. This is a good series.
Nice.
We'll see if I feel the same in, you know, another 6 episodes, but
that's fair.
Episode 4.
Yeah, this was obviously very much the concert. It was pretty much the entirety of the episode. I think there was a lot of neat things. Myself, I liked the beginning where just like with the metronome,
mm-hmm.
just went to like that, again, back to that black and white that you were talking about. And it almost had like a horror feel to me. In the way they did that.
Well, they're definitely painting his mom as a ghost, or as like a ghost or a haunting spirit.
Yeah.
Which is so weird to like kind of hop forward to. Was it in episode 4? He had a very positive memory of his mom pre-illness. Where she came off very caring and very supportive.
Yep, that was episode 4 as well.
Like, I wrote down, like, the mom is a B, like, capital. And considering the line was, like, no one's got my mom's back, I'm the only one, or some line akin to that. And Kusei is thinking about his mom in this kind of like evil spirit kind of haunted feeling. It's like, what kind of person was she after she fell ill?
It definitely raises some questions around that relationship, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, as a child, to be honest, like, if we were to think about it, he was probably thinking, even though like he was probably being abused or whatever, the majority of his memories of his mom were before that, when she was supportive and caring and bright and warm, opposed to whatever that she had become. And of course, you know, empathy or sympathy can also play a role. So like, it wouldn't be hard for a son to overlook transgressions in that kind of situation.
Right.
One thing, one thing that I did notice, there was a scene, it seemed like they were directly comparing Carrie and Kusei's mom in these in this episode. Because it was back to back in the way that they did it. And I felt like they were really trying to make her represent, you know, freedom and the journey and a forward progression.
Okay.
For Kusei's character and growth.
Oh.
Whereas the mother seemed to represent like a withering stagnancy, a staleness, or okay. something that was structurally holding him back. And the reason why I felt that is because of the order that they showed the screen, the scenes, and the amount of emphasis that those two scenes, him with his mother, and then following Kaori to the stage, were like paramount in the episode.
So I definitely think there's an aspect to that as it's shown. I mean, it very much fits with what we're seeing with Kusei. Right? Like, we know that what happened with his mom is what stopped him from playing. And of course, you have Kaori coming in, being the breath of fresh air to spark that again. Even though he's clearly very struggling. Like, struggling doing it, but he's giving it the old try.
I think
it's important to note with that, like, we kind of talked about it with the mom already. It's like, still, his mom was still part of what helped him get through that, the episode that he had. Right? Because that's where we had that, you know, the actual full of color scene with his mom, you know, just talking about, nope, be gentle with it. And, which was interesting because it actually, to me, spoke back to Kaori talking about the sad, the happy piano in the cafe.
Oh, the happy piano versus the sad piano. Yeah.
Right. Like it had that same tone to it, which at the very least, you know, regardless of what we see with Kosei's mother, like, I think she obviously had a care for the music as well. Even if she goes, you know, kind of soccer mom with it. There is emotion intent there behind it too. Which of course does not help Kosei at all.
No.
I think it's, I want to say it's episode 5. Where he kind of talks about, as long as he kept playing, it meant his mom would be okay. Right? So, but you know, trauma.
Yes. Well, especially when like the event happens and the playing had no effect.
Yeah.
It's like, what were you actually working for?
You know, sorry, you said the playing had no effect?
Yeah.
Like, him playing didn't elevate it, you mean, or?
Him playing didn't help his mom.
Yeah. But I mean, when you're like 8, 9, 10, you don't know that.
Yeah, true.
Right? Like, you just know you got to keep doing it because... It's something she wants, something she cares about. I love how everyone wins in headbutt. how Carrie gets him to go on stage.
Just make him do what you want by giving him like brain trauma. It's no wonder he is how he is. You know what? You know what? The other characters in this show make a lot more sense if you view them through Kusei's lens, opposed to, like, being the viewer. I don't really have anything to expand upon that yet, but I have this feeling.
That they're, all right.
Yeah.
All right. I could see how you could expand on that. It's not something I thought of, so I don't really have a direct response. It's something I will keep an eye out for.
I was just thinking, like, so the types of characters that surround Kusei, maybe I'm just trying to fix something that's okay. Wrong with the writing. The types of characters that are around Kusei have strong character traits. And they all seem to represent something that Kusei needs.
Mm.
Or something that can obtain growth for him, right?
Right.
So I'm wondering if that's how they're expressing these characters, like not showing them as complex as they can be simply by showing them through Kusei's lens. Though I could be just trying to fix a writing issue.
Yeah, it's... I think where that's coming from is a lot of the other things we've watched have been ensemble pieces.
Mm.
Right? Firefly is definitely an ensemble piece. Carolyn Tuesday had a good bit of that. Squid Game has that ensemble piece aspect, right? This isn't an ensemble show. There is the couple of main characters and everyone else around it. So I think from a writing standpoint, you can have let's use Watari for an example here.
Mm-hmm.
Like on the surface level, he is pretty shallow.
Yeah.
Except when he goes and brings out those sage-like nuggets here and there.
True.
Which is going to make more sense when you are in. When he is the secondary character. It's not a show about the four of them. Mm-hmm. It's a show about the two of them and their friends. So.
Yeah, maybe I'm just trying to ensemble a non-ensemble.
Yeah. But I think that fits what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least puts it into the perspective that you're probably in.
Yeah, a better perspective and better context for sure.
Yeah.
No, I agree. Seem to be a lot of talk about spring.
Yes.
Lots of spring will be here soon. I just know that spring will come. We'll keep referencing it.
They keep referencing it, and they keep pointing out that it's summer.
Yeah.
I think that goes back to something we kind of talked about with Kaguya, the poetic looks at the seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And this show, as we pointed out already, it does lean into that poeticism pretty heavily.
Mm-hmm.
Because I definitely think the characters are in their spring.
Yeah. Well, it seems, it definitely seems like it's a bit meta, a bit fourth wall breaking, because they're definitely talking about the characters of the story.
Mm.
They're just like, yeah, spring is coming soon. But it's summer.
Yeah, I think it's I almost think it's one of those things that, because we've seen this now in a few pieces of the anime that we've watched, where we're seeing these seasons referenced a lot more like that outside of the actual seasons. So it's probably a metaphor they use more often over there, I'm assuming.
Okay.
And just not something that we're necessarily culturally, it could be that cultural loss in translation.
Makes sense.
Just because I know we've had this conversation in several other pieces. So I'm leaning towards that's what it is. So what did you think of like the performance itself? Kaori versus Kosei. There's kind of a lot there.
Honestly, I don't think that's how it would have actually gone down. Like, Buddy's lived with this, like, not being able to hear his own instrument for so long. And he's so knowledgeable in the piano. I don't think he's someone who would just, like, hammer on the keys. I could see him falling out of timing. Because he would just be on his metronome, which might be different than what she's playing, right? Especially when they expressed already that she kind of forces the timing away from the accompanist. There was just like, I had some technique issues. Not that I'm like a piano guy. I just don't necessarily think some of his actions are what his character would have done in that situation. Just odd writing choices. But I do like how he tried, he forced it, he failed, knew that he failed, and then was able to do it again once he started relying on her again. So that was like the big thing that they were emphasizing with the concert, right?
Right. So I see what you're saying. I think we can disagree a bit, and again, I'm very much making it about this scene. And we kind of saw the same thing happen with the Happy Little Piano. When he was playing the piece exactly as it was, it was okay. He managed to do it. And which is interesting because he was already in his head right from the get-go. Like he was already going, it's like, he knew he was going to mess up. Which, you know, leads to messing up. But it was like, Kaori gave him that look. He goes like, okay, cool. You've got your footing. Now let's start running. And that's when he lost it. So I think there's a couple of things around that as we've been presented with so far. He's the human metronome.
When
he starts to do the flourishes and change it up, that's when we saw him lose it at the cafe. That's where we saw him lose it here. And by that point, he's just so far in his head, it's not clicking. Right? It wasn't until, you know, he had that memory of his mom telling him to, it's like, no, treat it gentler. Like, it was like that snap. Right? So it was almost like he had a fight or flight reaction. And just went, I got to fight the heck out of this piano. I got to beat it. And then, you know, being told to bring it back down a little bit. So that's why I don't necessarily think it's completely out of character.
Okay.
But I mean, again, we've only had one other experience with that. And there's also the aspect of how much of that is being done for the sake of the story. It's very easy for anyone to notice not hitting the keys with, with the right level of power.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, something going faster or slower, that's something she could easily keep up with. We know that.
Yeah.
So it has that little bit of extra drama around there.
I mean, it can, like, if it was done for the story, it's definitely a bit more forgivable. Because it's not a major, major writing infraction, right?
Yeah.
It's not like just all of a sudden, Buddy's got a gun for no reason.
Yeah.
It's definitely like it's for progression and could work into the character.
Yeah.
I just like odd choice, but
I think it works with the visuals too, though.
Mm-hmm.
Because, the visual being underwater, where you got to hit it harder. Right? If he's feeling that same type of sluggishness. Because, mental breaks are weird.
I just like how, like, finding the motivation or strength in somebody else encouraging him. Like, to earnestly try again. Not only to do it the first time, but when he fell on stage, for him to be able to pick it back up and, he unlocked his new superpower. That is, unable to hear the piano, he just plays it with his body. This is, so I guess Your Lie in April is the greatest shonen of all time.
I mean, obviously.
But then, from that, seeing how much it meant to somebody else and that being a reflection of how much it actually means to him,
mm-hmm.
being able to spur him to continue on with everything that he could, even though he couldn't hear the music.
Yeah.
Well, couldn't hear his music. Which, that being said, he could hear her music, so I don't see why his timing would fall off.
So, real life. I was watching this, there was this video about, I want to say it was Madonna. At a show, and basically she just like would start, all of a sudden voice just goes way off pitch.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are going, auto-tune, like obviously the auto-tune's breaking and causing this, but in reality what it was her monitor. She couldn't hear herself and the music properly through the headset again, so she went horribly off pitch. So only being able to hear part of it will cause, pitchiness, timing issues all over the place. So, I mean, yes, the timing, but you need that kind of rehearsal to change it up the way Kaori does, especially if you can't hear yourself keeping up with it or not.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's playing jazz and he's a concert pianist in the way that the piece is being expressed, right?
I do really like that they got the standing ovation.
Mm-hmm.
A few calls for encore. And freaking stuck up Buddy was all like, at our serious recital competition?
Yeah.
Oh, humbug. How dare they?
Yeah, it was... I really liked that. It's things that could happen even outside of, him playing badly. It's like the one guy says, like, they're both soloists. Mm-hmm. Neither of them are used to, being second fiddle.
Hey.
Well,
and they actually, they kind of covered that during the second half of their song. when they restarted, when she was like, how dare you try to upstage me?
Yeah. But it's interesting because, again, it makes it one of them crowd-pleasing, you know, they're doing them crowd-pleasing moves because they're now not playing, you know, what they're supposed to. It's more like going to, like, a dueling piano bar.
Yeah.
Which is a hell of a lot more entertaining as seen. Again, I like how it's a good way to show how skilled both of them are, regardless of the issues that Kosei is having. So,
I'm just waiting for Kosei to yell out, "This isn't even my final form." I've been purposely holding myself back this entire time.
I am not left-handed. neither am I.
So then, of course, the episode is then capped off with Kairi passing out, falling down. But unlike Kusei, she did not get back up again in short amount of time.
No, she did not.
Which brings us to our second lie in episode 5. And that was that it was the first time it's happened.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously been happening for a longer time. I'm worried it's like a tumor. It's not a tumor.
I'm a baby. Or no, what is it? I'm not a baby, I'm a tumor. Hellboy, I think that was. It's interesting because it could play it off as it being her first time. I think the episode does do that mostly straight until like near the end. I can't remember if it was near the middle or the end. It's just like near one of the breaks where she's like, oh, again.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I mean, like she stopped off of the bus in like episode 2 or whatever to go to the hospital.
Yeah.
And I was like, I even said, it's like, oh, I wonder what's wrong with her.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it could also be a heart thing, right?
Because
she does get mighty sweaty for just playing 3 minutes of violin.
I don't know, that was like 25 minutes of violin.
Maybe to us.
But to them, it was a mere fraction of a second. It is a shonen.
You'll never keep up with my speed.
Yeah, so I honestly thought this happened later. For some reason, I thought there was a bit more mystery around the hospital, I guess. I mean, she could have been going to see someone sick or something the first time you see it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. There's no indication that she was going for herself.
But I knew. I knew.
I know you knew. I was proud of you. I just couldn't say why.
Oh. I have to call my mom and say somebody else said they're proud of me. And she'll probably reply with, "That's amazing. That's the first time anyone said they've been proud of you."
Aww.
Aww.
That's sad.
I feel bad for me.
Oh, I could. But I won't. So, yeah. I guess this is definitely something that's happened to her before. I don't really know what to go on about that, because we haven't really explored that yet.
No, it's pretty much like one of the greatest comedy lines of all time. I was like, oh, they saw my bareback. No, I can never get married.
I have definitely seen that in way too many anime where they go. Oh, there's such a weird purity out there, considering, you know.
I mean, a lot of that shame was brought by the Europeans, though.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Nope, not making that comment. Just edit it out.
Honestly, to me, 5 and 6 kind of bleed together a little bit.
Hmm.
Can't really remember which events happen in which episode.
Hmm.
But, so in 5, then, is 5 when she totally tricks Busei into, signing up, for the piano competition?
Yes, that does happen at the end of 5.
It was just like, it was a really funny scene, especially they were laying it up with, like, Kusei's not a coward, per se. Mm.
Yeah.
Like, he just takes some pushing, is what they're kind of illustrating with those childhood scenes.
Yes.
Like, he can almost drown a bunch of times, and he's like, I want to do it again, but he has a hard time actually making the jump.
Yeah. That's actually, I think, one of the first things I noted. I think it's a big thing with Tsubaki.
Mm.
It's like, she is that pushing force.
Yeah, like a catalyst.
Yeah. We saw that here. I think we saw that back in episode 2. Oh, might have been 3. When they were trying to get him as the accompanist.
Mm-hmm.
She was still pushing force, even though it might have been Kaori doing it. She was pushing Kaori.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I think there's a big aspect of her knowing what he's capable of, even if he doesn't, is how that reads to me.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. And we kind of like touched on this last recording, whereas she knows him inside and out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, knows who he is and what his hangups are. I am waiting for her to just like bust out a like, no, your mom was a total B moment. Just like to straight up yell at him, but like, in the end, she was not a good person.
Oh, yeah.
But so yeah, oh. Like, mirroring those events onto Kaori ambushing him on his walk home at the same bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And totally tricking him into like the whole piano competition thing, and then jumping off. And then, I mean, at this point, he's already like well used to it, so he just makes that leap himself.
So I read that a little bit differently.
Mm.
I don't think he was well used to it.
Mm.
I actually got the impression that this was a character change for him.
Okay. I like that.
Because, I mean, obviously, just mirroring the opening scene.
Mm-hmm.
But with the amount of pushing that he needed in all of the previous episodes to do this stuff. It's like, I think this is the first time he's chosen to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. This is the first episode I noticed it, and I saw the same thing happen in this 6th episode. And I don't know if I noticed it or if it didn't exist in the first few episodes. The opening and endings are mirroring each other.
Oh,
each episode.
I skip them.
No, like not the music, not the opening music.
Mm.
Like the the first scene of the show.
Oh.
And the last scene of the show. Because again, like we just talked about the bridge. It opened with Sabaki throwing him in off the bridge and ended with him jumping off.
Oh, I'm going to be looking for that now.
Yeah. And the same thing happened in episode 6 when we get to that too. So I just noticed in that. I don't know if it was there in the others. So there's kind of a few things that I found interesting, like with the hospital scene.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure. Yeah, it
probably was, you pervert.
You done?
I'm good. I'm hilarious.
You good?
Yeah, I'm fine.
You proud of yourself for that?
I'm patting myself on the back as we speak.
Did it come across to you that it looked like Kosei was the only one that showed actual genuine concern for Kaori? Like, it was just something about that interaction in the hospital the first time that...
I could say in the scenes that they showed us, mm-hmm. yes.
Okay.
But there was a considerable amount of time that they spent there that they did not show us.
Yeah. That can honestly go back to the whole ensemble versus...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, was it Watery? Like, does he really care?
I think he thinks he cares. If that makes sense.
It's like, and then even then, like, when it came to Kaori, or sorry, Kusei, the way that it was presented to me, I didn't take it this way, because I just assumed there was things they didn't show us. But if we're going off just the scenes that they show us, to me, it seemed like there was a lot of, like, how does this involve me? There was like a self-centeredness to the concern.
Mm.
Like, even though it was like, is it my fault? Was I part of this? Blah, 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 blah. Less genuine. Outwardly concerned, I guess you could say. But I don't think any of these people are like that, except, like, Watery is kind of an enigma, but we'll let him slide, because I don't know. Plays netball. Likes girls. Gave an advice once.
Okay. Even gave him his shoes. I think I think this is a Kaori hiding things more.
Mm-hmm.
But trying to shift the conversation from her being sick to, it's like, why the heck aren't you playing?
Mm-hmm.
Which I think, actually, I'm not even sure if it's a I don't want to call it a deflection.
I think there is some deflection there, but I think there is some genuine concern that he's still not playing of his own volition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's overall genuine. It's mm-hmm. it's not just a I'm not. It's not just trying to change the subject.
Mm-hmm.
It's a this is just as important.
Yeah, it's a it's a accusation with benefits.
Yeah. and we get to see a little bit more of Kusei's inner turmoil around this as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because at this point here, we're getting is like he is concerned that the piano was the only thing he was ever good at. And Tsubaki does not help.
What was it? Well, like, Carrie said a line, which was like, is that really that bad? Or something like that.
Yes, she had a couple of lines like that. There was one, I think, very specifically, is like, is that a bad thing? When they were in the hospital themselves,
mm-hmm.
after the others left. Which is, again, I think it's important, especially when she goes and she follows it up. It's like, I'm pretty sure it was in a slightly different conversation. But it was, the piano is only one part of you.
Mm-hmm.
But in this moment, it is the only part. So it's definitely more, but it's like, when you are playing, it's like, no, you give it your all. Not playing, and she goes on, like, not playing the piano, it's like losing a limb. Because it is core to him, and she recognizes that. I think Tsubaki recognizes that, but can't express it in the same way because she's into sports ball, not make the magic notes.
I took Tsubaki's reaction a little bit differently there. So I got a feeling that if she were to express like positive affirmations to this sort of question, she would end up having to confront herself and admit things to Kusei that she's not ready to admit. I think her mind went blank just with a very complex question to her. Whereas to most people, it would not be a complex question.
Okay.
Like, she honestly didn't know how to answer.
Yeah, that makes sense. I agree with that. I think I could see him I could see him misperceiving it. And just building into that that kind of self-doubt that he's already...
I mean, right now he's not really all that good at piano either, so...
To be fair, he did learn that piece just by listening to it for a week, even though he had his issues. When he was good, he was good. I find it interesting that, I mean, obviously we've talked about Kusei being wrecked with guilt already.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's not just guilt with Kaori. I think he's still feeling some of that from his mom too.
Oh, for sure.
Right. I think, let's see. Sorry, I got my notes and they're in chronological order, not character order. Obviously, because, you know, I was writing it while watching it or something. So let me jump around to plot points here a little bit for things that I noted. But if you have something more direct to talk about. I can.
No, I honestly don't know which events happen in 5 and which happen in 6.
All right.
Aside from the piggyback rides in 6.
Yeah. So I think, talking about Watery, I still find it so interesting that he definitely understands the connection between Kusei and Kaori. And even though he's, you know, crushing on her, which we've kind of touched on, he keeps going to Kusei. It's like, yeah, go for it anyway. Let's go. I don't know why I find that so amusing, but I do. Drew's just shaking his head.
It's not a good guy.
Yeah.
Just because he's got sage advice doesn't make him a good dude. If you're not going to be resolute in your affections, then you should break it off.
Mm. There was a little bit of color notation that I noticed was around Spocky.
Mm.
Because this is where we start to see her being down.
You're talking about the cloudy eyes thing?
Yeah.
It was very noticeable, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they definitely did with the eyes. All of a sudden, we saw her with that darker color palette again.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nice to see that they are being consistent with these visuals that we talked about in those first couple episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know that was one thing. You're like, I hope they keep it up. It's interesting because I know this kind of goes back to something you were saying. It's about the, you know, that traditional romance thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. What are your thoughts on this, that part happening? It's very specifically just the eyes, and I think she meets that high schooler again. Can't remember.
Messing around with high school boys.
Yeah.
Getting into trouble.
Yeah. Yeah. How did that...
Here's the thing. The romance makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, like with a lot of series, I don't like there to be too much romance. Like maybe one or two relationships.
Yeah.
Generally used to express something, maybe thematic about the story. But
we're also watching a romance anime.
There's no romance in shonen.
Sorry, my bad.
Goku does not marry Frieza, okay? He may want to in his heart of hearts. The thing is, it doesn't seem forced and it makes sense.
Mm.
Like I was calling from the beginning. I was hoping they would keep it more familial, relationship between Kusei and Tsubaki. But it's obvious that there is some romantic affection from Tsubaki towards Kusei.
Mm.
We don't know yet if there's any in return. Because Kusei right now is... Well, actually, technically in this episode, he's doing the thing that guys do where he's talking himself out of liking Kaori. So... I would be very sad that if he gets with Tsubaki because he can't get Kaori. I'd be upset with that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think Tsubaki deserves better.
Yeah.
But I mean, when like the handsome boy that's now first year in high school and all the girls liked him when he was on the, he was a captain of your baseball team and all that. Was it a love confession? They like tried to hide it a little bit. I assumed it was a...
I think it was. They didn't show it, but I mean, yeah, I think it was because the way it ended was like, and now that, because even I was one of those ones enamored, and now that it's there, I don't know if it's got that same sparkle or something along those lines. It was poetic.
Yeah, they keep talking about sparkles in this episode.
Yeah. So I do definitely think that was him confessing, which obviously leads in the next episode for her.
Mm-hmm.
Her asking him out. One thing that I found interesting with it, because it's definitely like playing with that romantic tie to Kosei. I think they expressed very well that Tsubaki doesn't know how she feels.
Oh, very, very much. So
I think they did that very well. Yeah, and then we've already kind of talked about like the other kind of notes that I have. The plot points were about him trying to play music to save his mom, and the bookends of him jumping into the river.
Yeah, we talked about both those things.
Yeah, yeah. So, which I guess points us to
episode six. Well, the first thing, right out the bat,
Angelus bring a girl into his house all by himself.
With wet hair? How dare he?
You know, all I can think is that one character in Recess, Scandalous.
Okay, so that scene, like, it was raining heavy for a while.
Yeah.
And then Curry's at Kusei's house wearing some old clothes of his, and she has wet hair.
Yep.
And Tsubaki instantly goes from, like, 0 to this guy's a scumbag, hooking up with Carrie or whatever. Like, I know she's in the midst of confronting her emotions, yeah, her feelings, yeah, towards Kosei, but intuitively, it was kind of, like, it was obvious.
This is one of these things that I think, again, there's a lost in translation aspect. This is a trope that I've seen in enough anime to think that this is just a standard trope, even outside of the feelings.
I just don't get it. What's so scandalous about her having wet hair?
not necessarily the wet hair, just the, oh, in your house wearing your shirt. Obviously there's something else happening here. They're not even married and they're holding hands.
Wait, I have something for this.
Ooh, you whore. Did you put me on a soundboard?
From Mean Girls.
Ooh, I know. You approve of this? I just didn't know this was a thing. Thank you. Yeah. Anyway, I think, because yeah, I've just seen that similar thing in enough anime that I think there's another ropey aspect to it that we don't necessarily see over here as often. So I guess it didn't stand out to me as a weird thing going that 0 to 60. I mean, heck, we saw Kaori basically doing it the first episode when she thinks that he accidentally looked at her. There.
I mean, he was taking pictures while her skirt was blowing up in the wind. I'm just saying.
No, he was taking a picture, and then that spring wind came in and gave him the Marilyn treatment.
It probably would have helped if Kusei didn't follow that up with the phrase, ooh, great timing. It's canon. Watch it. So the scandalous house visit scene I really liked, especially with how it kind of led into the later part of the episode, where Kaori was finally realizes the depths to which Kusei had sank, and what she was treading upon or intruding upon. I guess intruding upon would be better than treading.
Yeah.
Treading is more disrespectful because she's not doing it disrespectfully.
Yeah.
Yeah, so for her to clear it off and then dust off the piano has like a very intricate and deep meaning to Kusei. mm-hmm. that she definitely didn't understand when she did it.
Yes. I thought that was done very well. It's again one of those scenes that's just, again, it's extremely efficient in what it's doing.
Mm.
We see, I mean, we kind of already had that visualization of, from our side, of how Kusei is seeing things. It's not our first time seeing that piano room, but it is hers. We see her care for the piano.
Mm-hmm.
Like she's actually apologizing to the piano and starting to dust it off. So we get her realization about, like, okay, nope, it's deeper than she thought. We get Kusei going, it's like, and she's here helping clear the dust.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that outside of the piano room. Because obviously, you know, there's layers. This whole episode's like an onion. Or an ochre. Yeah, it's just a good representation, I think, overall of how Kaori sees the world, how Kusei is feeling trapped in his world right now. And how she clears off the dust enough that, I mean, Tsubaki's mom's like, oh, is he actually playing the piano? I should probably go make him some food.
Yeah, that was very endearing to me. And I think that's one of the reasons why I left this episode with a smile. It's like, oh, I should bring him a snack.
Yeah.
Because she would, like, just as a tangent, Tsubaki's mom has been around Kusei probably longer, technically speaking, than Tsubaki has, because of the way, like, the age of which memories are formed, right?
Yeah.
So she may not know him as intricately, but there's definitely going to be a deep connection there, especially mm-hmm. when it's your daughter's bestest friend, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It was such a nice touch having that. I mean, it just goes to show how important music was to him.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is important to keep in mind with relationships. Correctly.
If they don't like Big D and the kids' table shining on, they're not for me.
This is fair. I think we get a lot with I know you're talking about kind of looking at other characters more deep. I mm-hmm. think this episode does that with Tsubaki.
Yes. In fact, I really, like, this was something I was calling for at last recording.
Mm.
It was more of an in-depth look into Tsubaki. And also Kusei actually expressing care towards her.
Mm-hmm.
A reciprocation of that friendship. Which we got in spades.
Yes.
Because I was really worried it would have been one-sided, everything is about Kusei.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that we got to have this, like, 50-50 Tsubaki Kusei, could have used a bit more Tsubaki probably, but I don't know what they would have shown. Maybe they're holding on to some stuff for later.
I mean, let's obviously call out some of the big things. I mean, Tsubaki, again, this kind of goes back to that. I don't think she knows how she feels.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that when it's an interesting take on this. And let me know if you saw this the same way. It is kind of similar that, oh, I think it feels more like she is mourning the loss of a relationship because they've started to grow apart with their interests being a bit different.
Mm.
And that being the core concern she's having.
No, I don't see it that way at all.
You don't see that?
No, especially. So we have to frame it all in her date with the scandalous high school boy.
Mm-hmm.
Who's always up to no good because he's an older high school boy and they're always getting into trouble.
This is true.
Smoking words and swearing cigarettes.
Yes.
So she goes on this date and then all she does is talk glowingly about Kusei and like complains about him being, you know, a ditzy fool.
Mm.
And it kind of gets framed up as like, just like always, you're always talking about Kusei, right?
Yeah.
So this establishes the fact that this super handsome angel of a high school boy is already knows what's in Tsubaki's heart. She's actually likes Kusei.
Okay.
Now, I think the fact that they're growing apart, and also the fact that she no longer, you know, felt the same sparkles or saw the same sparkles in this high school boy who she was previously, like, infatuated with. Or, like, tandem, I guess you could say.
Mm.
So I think that Kusei and Tsubaki growing apart is making Tsubaki confront the fact that she actually feels more romantic towards Kusei than she believes she did.
Okay.
Less familiar, more romantic.
Okay. Yeah, I felt it. I get that. I guess, like, I read it as, like, it's just kind of these, all of the confusing emotions. Like, I definitely think there's that romantic aspect there.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like, it almost came across to me like a lot of her loss of sparkle came because she's realizing that she's not going to be that person.
Hmm.
For her. Because so of,
she's no longer the person driving and supporting him like she always has been.
Yes. That's kind of how I was feeling that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not to, like, obviously she's got the romantic feelings. That's there. But much like Watery said to Kusei a few episodes back, it's like, doesn't matter. It's how you feel.
Well, I'm pretty sure he said, doesn't matter where the bitch is at.
Yeah, it's, I mean, both can be true.
Because Watery's terrible.
Watery's terrible, but he's trying to instill good values in Kusei.
Steal my girl.
Do what
girl.
I say, not what I do.
Steal my girl so I don't have to break up with her.
Yeah, because I think a big part of the thing that solidified this to me is, like, I think, you know, because Tsubaki's in her own head,
mm-hmm.
as well at this point. She's feeling like, you saw her kind of light up when Kusei was there, when she saw Kusei, and then kind of lose it when she saw Kaori was there as well,
mm-hmm.
during the sports ball. You know, obviously shook her off her game a bit. She's feeling terrible because she just cost her. They didn't even get past regionals.
They didn't even make it to semi-regional ultra finals. States. Well, that's the thing, and she's probably feeling a bit isolated too, right?
Hmm.
Because her friend Carrie is growing close with Kusei and spending a lot of time with Watery. I don't blame Tsubaki for not hanging around with Watery that much.
Yeah. Even though I think they probably have more in common.
And then, I don't know, Kusei is Kusei.
Yeah.
He's like teen boy infatuated with a girl. So that's all he thinks about. So like her entire support structure is missing, right? So who is she going to talk to?
Yeah.
Who's she going to cry? Whose shoulder is she going to cry on?
Yeah.
While receiving a piggyback ride.
Which I absolutely... I liked how they, you know, tied up that plot point in a way. It was like... Just because, like, there's different interests, different friends, he's still there for her. Which I thought was powerful.
Well, that's what true friends are, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's interesting because they, I mean, obviously they're showing something with Kusei and Kaori, but they haven't expressed it in that same way. It's Kaori is sparking something in Kusei. And like obviously Kusei has feelings, I mean Watery and such is done, but it hasn't actually been expressed in the same way that, you know, Tsubaki's feelings for Kusei has. It's that there's clearly that deep inspiration, that deep connection between them. That they kind of written it this way so far that it transcends something as simple as romantic love.
Like a vampire.
Very much. I was actually going to say it was like a vampire as well. there's something more there, and I think they're showing that with now Kusei is the one carrying Tsubaki. He's like, no, I can carry you sometimes.
Well, and it's so nice, like, to have the episode bookended, like you mentioned before. So at the beginning where Tsubaki was carrying Kusei, having Kusei carry Tsubaki. And him just like straight up admitting in his own way, like, I haven't really been the best friend, but I'm here for you, you know?
Yeah.
It was very touching.
I think so too. And it's... I think it's important to have that reinforcement that just because other relationships are happening, you're there. Because it is so easy to forget that, so easy to get lost in that. And we saw that. Again, it was expressed very well with Tsubaki. Just all the emotions. And yeah. I'm going to reference something else and I can't remember exactly how it's going to now. So
Tsubaki was Judas the whole time?
Possibly. So that's more likely to be watery. Let's face it.
I really kind of to switch focuses here. Unless you want to expand on that.
Nope. Okay. I just think watery is more likely to betray someone.
Oh no, 100%. Then he becomes Dracula.
Spoilers!
So, I like, as soon as Kusei was having second thoughts about submitting, like, even after he was trying so hard and, like, just being pushed and pushed and, like, what is your mental image for when you play the song, which was kind of fun, like a fun little montage they did. He was about to like quit, and then Gary had his wallet. He was like, "No, I already signed you up like yesterday."
Yeah.
So
yeah,
he got like double tricked.
Yeah.
Which brings us to a series of funny scenes, mm. where, like, the three other pianists,
mm.
like, were being told or already knew that he was gonna play.
Yep.
And they all had their evil faces on. And you know what that means? Tournament arc!
As you said, this is a shonen.
This is a shonen. 100% a shonen.
Yep. Yep. I think that plays very well with I mean, obviously tournament arc, best arcs always. Mm-hmm. It's also what made the only season of Carolyn Tuesday so great as well. Tournament arc was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It's again, calls back to, you know, are people talking about him or is he imagining it? From like the second episode when he was in the concert hall for the first time in a while,
mm-hmm.
Where we see it's like, oh, nope, I recognize him. He's gotten taller, but I recognize him. And then seeing, you know, students doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. It's like, there was something there. I am excited for a tournament arc because, I mean, they're always the best arcs.
Well, especially like, they probably don't have much time, but I wonder if they'll do a time skip for the tournament arc.
Time skips always happen after tournament arcs.
Oh. Well, he'll do his in-depth training.
Yep.
He'll power up again.
Yes.
He'll enter the tournament arc, and whether he wins or not doesn't matter because there'll be a time skip after.
Yeah.
And then he'll come back as our starry-eyed high school boy. Picking up junior high school girls. Only the purest thoughts, Devin. Only the purest thoughts.
Only the purest.
It'll be a fun exploration because it very much seems to me like you're a 17-year-old chess player and you go into this like huge competition and an 8-year-old sits across from you and just destroys you.
Yeah.
So I'm getting that kind of vibe though. So I really feel like because of how exact and on the ball he was, he just wrecked all these people who were like passionately chasing their music. Whereas he was more mechanically chasing it.
Right.
And they've already expressed that these judgments are mechanically judged.
Right.
I don't see him winning, though.
Mm.
That's my prediction.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's not. I definitely don't think he's going to make it to semi-state regionals.
That's a shame. Oh, it's coming up next week, too.
What is that from? That's...
Glee. It's making fun of Glee.
Yeah,
it was something. Can't remember. It was one of those parody movies or something. Because they're always going to regionals in Glee. It's always next week.
I really like the first two seasons of Glee.
So did I.
Anyways.
I think. The only other thing that obviously is no longer important in comparison to the tournament arc, I liked kind of that conversation that Kaori and Tsubaki had. Mm. About, just it's like causing it, Kosei suffering.
Mm.
And when Kaori goes to apologize, it's like, but that's what it is. Like, nope, it is suffering. It's a challenge. And that's how you get through it. I liked that bit of character growth because he clearly wasn't doing that. The challenge and painfulness is what makes it fulfilling.
Mm-hmm.
That's how he said it.
Yeah, and that kind of highlights how Tsubaki does not yet see how much Kusei has grown.
Mm-hmm.
So she's only seen how he's been suffering for so long. She probably can't divide it. And Kusei's answer to Kaori really has that frame of positive stoicism.
Mm.
It's just like, no, I'm facing my trauma now.
Yeah.
Like, this is what I need to do to get past it.
Yeah. Yeah, I really like that. There's a few other lines that I have noted, but you haven't noted them, so that's where I leave it.
I don't know why 5 and 6 were kind of a blur together for me.
Mm. Yeah, I honestly can't remember which. I think it's lines that have been repeated throughout the episodes.
Mm.
Just here and there. Yeah, no, there's definitely a few lines that I know have more meaning, but yeah, I'll leave that there. Yeah.
Sounds like we are a fiend.
Yeah, unless you've got anything else.
Yeah, I do. One sec.
Ooh, you whore.